Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, this is Kelty Knight from Lady Gang.
Hey, it's Steve Austin from the Steve Austin Show.
This is Heather Dubrow from Heather Dubrow's World.
Hey, this is Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana from Riggle's Picks.
This is Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine on Podcast One.
This Veterans Day, I'd like to give a special thanks to all those who've served in the armed forces.
From the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the Reserves.
Because of your bravery, we can live without fear.
Because of your valor, we can soar into the bright future.
Because of your sacrifice, we don't have to sacrifice the liberties that we hold so dear.
We could not do it without you.
Thank you again for your service, and all of us at Podcast One hope you enjoy a safe holiday weekend.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and a new recipe in Eat Your Feelings. Bald Brian on sound effects, a phone call from Bill O'Reilly, and Vinny Tortorich stops by. And now, out of respect for our friends at Borderline and Thousand Oaks, we're skipping the stupid intro joke. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Man, they get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
You realize I'm not a comedian.
Vinny Tortorich coming in. All right. So, Borderline and the crazy massacre. And, you know, it's funny. Not funny, haha. But I got up in the morning. Kind of reminds me, in a weird way, about around 9/11. Because I didn't know what was going on when I got up in the morning. I saw an email from Mike. I think there was one with Jimmy on it. I got one from Max Pata. But I don't watch the news kind of intentionally at night. I watch like car shows.
For the best.
UFC shows and a lot of like shows about if they could combine car auctions with cage fighting.
Oh, wow.
I would never leave the house. And that's what I do. So when I wake up the next morning, everyone's like, oh, my God. They assume like I know what's going on, but they don't. They just sort of say, oh, my God, in the email. But I had no idea what was going on.
I woke up for some reason at 1:30 in the morning. I just couldn't sleep. And I'm just tooling around on Twitter. And I start seeing all these headlines go by. And I thought, Borderline, we've played there, you know, multiple times. Oh, my God. And I tweeted something saying, you maybe you've been to a show that you've seen, you know, the Adam Carolla Show there, whatever. Bill Carroll, who was on KFI for many years, is now in Canada, saw that and said, can you come on? my show in Ottawa right now and talk about it. And I said, I don't have any information.
Right.
But we just talked just because, you know, to have that local feel. But that happened at 4 this morning.
Yeah.
Always working, Gina. Always working.
Yes, that's my point.
We were there in July. We and I and us have played there many times. It's a great place with a great crowd. Mike reached out to the manager, and he was actually sick and at home for a couple of days. So he was not there. It's chilling. You know, when you hear about these things at a school somewhere or at a bar somewhere or, you know, the Pulse nightclub. Mm-hmm. I've never been in the Pulse nightclub, so you couldn't really describe it. You could. It's always horrific, but you can't picture it. You know, Mike was saying, you know, he came in through the front door. He shot the guard by the front door, and then he turned to the right. And the girl, you know, where we set up and sell the merch, that little alcove in there, and where the girl is, he then shot her. Then he went, and he went in the back, and he went to the office, and he ended up killing himself, I guess, in the office. All the bits and pieces. But as he's saying it, I'm walking through the place in my mind, and I'm picturing the girl standing there in that little alcove selling T-shirts or taking tickets or whatever. And it's horrifying. It's always horrifying. And I obviously, the closer this stuff gets to you, because we're wired this way, I wish, you know, when there's a tsunami and it hits the Philippines, you go, oh, you know, that's bad. We should send out a tweet or send over some canned goods or something. But as whatever tragedy gets closer and closer to your house, it grows. Yeah. You know, maybe it's not the noblest of wiring, but it's how humans are wired.
Also, to your point, when you can picture it, you know what I mean? Like, we actually picture, you know, the place it happened and how it probably went down or some version of it. Christy came to our last show at the, it was after, she came.
A wedding.
After a wedding. And she had been there, and she's always kind of shaken out and rattled after these, you know, shootings, school shootings, whatever. She gets upset by them. But she was very much affected by this one because she'd been there, and she could picture how it all went down. Doesn't make you, I don't think it's bad wiring. It's just once, you know, it's the difference between, like I said, hearing the tsunami and seeing, you know, Sally Struthers on TV with the starving kids. It's like, oh, I can see it now.
I don't really mean bad. I just mean it'd be nice if we had the same, it would summon the same feelings. Something that happened in your backyard is something that happened 3,000 miles away.
Right.
But it just doesn't, and it can't.
Unless because there's a lion involved.
Right, and in which case every yenta in the world has to get on board. But we somehow, well, there's also kind of a weird thing, which is interesting about Cecil the lion or whomever, whatever animal gets shot a million miles away. In a weird way, is if it wasn't that catastrophic, if there weren't a bunch of kids dead, if there was a lion dead but not a bunch of 9-year-olds dead, we do have the energy for that somehow. It's easier. I don't have the energy for it, but it's interesting.
One has the energy.
Yeah, all right, so we'll tell you, I'll give you some feelings, and you guys share some feelings, and yes.
Can I just say one, I mean, I can't even call it a good thing. I don't even know if we can call it a silver lining, but one way to reaffirm your faith in humanity is currently there is a line just wrapping around blocks for people to donate blood right now. They keep showing pictures, and they are showing helicopter footage, and all you have to do is say, we are low on blood, can you help? And I mean, I don't know if they're going to get to everybody. So that's at least a little bit affirming.
You can donate, and we're not talking about blood at this point. But you want to make a donation, like a financial donation, you can do it at vccf.org, and you can help those who are affected. And then you get to, all right, first everyone's in shock, then sorrow kicks in, and then some sort of anger, and then what? And then you get into this, what should we do? So let's talk about what we should do. I'll let you guys think about it for a second. First, I'll tell you guys that this half of the show is brought to you by Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Hunt to Killer at huntakiller.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your car questions at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge. And LifeLock, lifelock.com. Enter Adam. So you go, all right, what's going on? And then you think, all right, Well, what are the variables? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, this stuff didn't used to exist. First things first, everything existed. It's a matter of frequency, mm-hmm. right? So it's like many more people used to die in car crashes, and they still die in car crashes, but we've lessened the frequency right. of car crashes.
There's
and
also an amplification of social media where the stuff comes to you quickly and in your face and viscerally.
Yes, but I'm saying in terms of these kinds of events, they're by all units of measurement, there are more of them now than there were 40 years
yes.
ago. Okay, so there's that. So first things first, what we're trying to study this sort of scientifically. What do we got? Well, we got more of this. And then you go, all right, now what else? Then what else? And there's a lot of gun conversations, but there was always a lot of guns and everyone always had a gun. So you go, well, everyone had a gun 40 years ago, but there wasn't this. So while you have to discuss guns, and certainly in cases like the Vegas shooting and stuff like that, it's still not the primary factor if it didn't take place 40 years ago when there were guns and now there's more guns or just as many or everyone still has one and now they're taking place a lot. So you have to kind of go, all right, what is the motivating factor? I have a couple of thoughts, sort of quaint and old fashioned. I'm an atheist.
Gather around, kids.
Which is okay for me. But as we get further away, like as our society sort of hurries to get away from what was considered sort of quaint and old-fashioned, you know, family, church, religion, community, you know, the mm-hmm. father-daughter dances and stuff, into this kind of, hey, we'll define it as we go. Like, we'll define society as we go. We'll define family as we go. Hey, what's right for you may not be right for you, and we're all going to kind of do our own thing. And everyone gets further away from religion and starts embracing a kind of a whatever political spirituality, could be in the environment. It could be gun owners' rights, you know. But as we start sort of removing the vacuum, I mean, it's weird that I'm talking this way, but religion has always been kind of the eye in the sky. Like, you're going to be judged.
Right.
You shall all be judged. Like, the tenet of most religions is one day mm-hmm. you're going to be judged.
Judgment day.
And
a virtuous life will lead to
yeah, you
nirvana.
May get away from the CIA or the ATF, but you're not getting away from the eye in the sky. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, I kind of like that. I like that. And I understand why we created that. Like, you know, if my wallet falls out of my windbreaker and it's laying on the curb, I kind of hope a guy who believes in the eye in the sky policy picks it up mm-hmm. versus an atheist. That's, yes, thank you. Dawson's going out of his mind over
yeah.
there. Little Alan Parsons. The whole 9 minutes with no Alan Parsons.
Don't think sorry is easily said.
So, I feel like that held people together. I feel like the family, in general, I have no idea as far as this individual shooter. I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know if he comes from an intact family. I don't know any of these things. I'm speaking in generalities, in general terms. I feel, and also, it's weird you go, well, mental illness, but mental illness has been around for a while, too. The guns, the mental illness, these are all tried and true. And then also, mentally ill people, I think it's sort of unfair because they do understand that killing people is wrong and that it's not that most mentally ill people don't harm other people. The vast majority of mentally ill people do not harm other people. Mm-hmm. So
the ones that carry out something like this or some version of this are obviously, like, I know it's wrong, I'm doing it anyway. Like, they're not ignorant of the, you know, right and wrongness of it.
Yeah, I agree. So when we go like, hey, it's mental illness and it's access to firearms, I'm like, well, everyone had easier access to firearms and there's plenty of mental illness of 30 years ago. You're not explaining it to me in a way where if you flip the script and you go, why so many, you know, I'll make up a number, but in 1955, there was a fatality for every 70,000 miles traveled on American highways. Now it's every 250,000 miles. And you go, airbags. And I go, huh? Oh, yeah, the big pillow comes out of your thing, and then the cars have crumple zones, and they have warning
and
things.
And
I go, oh, okay, done. Yeah. We're kind of done with this conversation. Right. You just said it. But if you said airbags, and I went, cars in the 50s had airbags, and then you went crumple zones, and I went, cars in the 50s had crumple zones, and you said early warning lane change, and I said cars in the 50s, then we haven't really approach this. When the part where I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Open and shut.
Right. So there's that. Now, there's also a thing that's, I have this theory that all roads, and I've been yelling this for a while, lead to narcissism. And there was always suicide, but it wasn't, I'm going to take out a bunch of people and then kill myself.
Yep.
This is my problem.
Yep.
I'm suicidal. Mm-hmm. I'm not homicidal and then suicidal. I'm suicidal. There's an insane thing that could be part of my all roads lead to narcissism, which is I'm going to kill myself, but first I'm going to get my name in the papers and on the evening news. Mm-hmm. I wonder, there's always been suicide, but this is like narcisside. This is, I'm going to go out with some sort of blaze of glory. Now, I'm not good enough to invent something or do something heroic where I save someone from a fire or something, but it's also sort of connected to all press is good press in a sort of post-Kardashian world, which is, hey, is your name in the paper or isn't it in the paper? Now, back in the day, it was, well, if your name's in the paper for saving a child who fell in a well, then that's a good thing. But if your name's in the paper because you murdered somebody, that's a completely... Now we're kind of in a spot where it's like, did you make the paper or didn't you make the paper? It's easier to make the paper by walking in with a bunch of innocent souls and slaughtering people than it is to be Elon Musk, I imagine. Evidently, low IQ people, anybody, it seems like anyone can do this,
right.
which is sad. There's also that guy did it. I guess that guy's doing it. Like there is an element.
This is possible element.
Yeah, you call it normalizing, but I think of it more as like once Roger Bannister, once he breaks the 4-minute mile, yeah, Everyone breaks the 4-minute mile. It's just the way humans work. Like,
you
that guy just did it.
And it went,
oh, I guess it can be done. So there's a whole bunch of, and then there's, you know, endless video games and online and, you know, on cyberbullying and, you know, pharmaceuticals. Like, I mean, I think it's stupid to go, here's the problem. The problem? Access to guns. If we had more sensible gun law, like, it's, I think there's a sort of a dream catcher, mobile of problems. I think it's 15 different problems.
And they're constantly swirling.
Yeah, you can't, to say, oh, it's guns, that's insane because there was always guns.
It's one element of the problem.
It's an element. It's like we should break it off into pieces. My feeling, one sec, Brian.
Yeah, sure.
My feeling is, as I've been, I realize I've been preaching this for 20 years from doing Loveline, family, education, community, religion, which I wasn't preaching, but now I am, like getting that community, having that, that's going to go a long way to solving these kinds of problems. Keeping a gun out of this guy's hand or beefing up security at the front door or getting a metal detector, it's helpful, but it's not the end. Sorry, go ahead. No, Bill's online. Go ahead.
This is on the heels of what you were saying. It's kind of related. I don't have any evidence of this, but it feels like, and when I say feels like, I know I've heard this about multiple perpetrators of these incidents, which is there were always warning signs. The cops responded to investigated them at one point or responded to a complaint at one point or neighbors said this or family said this. And it was always like someone looked into it, questioned him, and then and then we have this.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is, but it does feel like the warning signs need to be taken more seriously.
That did happen in this case.
Yeah, there need to be more oversight somehow. Like,
yes, but here's
the first step and not the second and third step.
I agree, but there is going to be one teacher for every 30 students and one principal for every 1,000 students. And at some point in the event, it's like the homeless situation. We don't have enough cops. We don't have enough custodians. We don't have enough principals, security counselors. Mm-hmm. Who's following up on this stuff? How can you follow up on 1,000 screwed up souls? You know what I mean? Well, the cops went over there, but they should have been surveilling him. It's like, but they don't have... There's not that many cops. There's not that many cruisers.
I'm not laying the blame at the foot of the cops.
No,
it's a group effort.
I get it. At some point, the families are going to have to take over. When the cop shows up, mom and dad are going to have to answer the door and realize they need to get this troubled soul some help. The cops are going to leave. You're in the house. Yeah. At a certain point, what the cops need to do is deputize all the families to essentially be the custodian. I don't know, homeless, whatever gang affiliation, whatever it is, it's all going to end up back in the house. All right, Bill O'Reilly's on. He's got a new book. We'll get back into this in a second. We'll talk about catching some real bad guys. He's got a book called Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History. God, back when things were easier, or a little more cut and dried at least, I'll tell you about LifeLock, and then we'll pot Bill up. For over 3 years, software vulnerability in Google Plus social media network gave third-party developers the potential to access almost 500,000 users' data. With your personal info from data exposure, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, and even buy property. So many threats in today's connected world, it just takes 1 week link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock. Identity theft protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's almost 2019, people. Let's get on this. Let's get some protection. Cyber thieves are out there. Let's get the best. Let's get LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
Bill O'Reilly on the phone. Good to speak to you, Bill.
Corolla, how you doing, man?
I've been better because we woke up the morning to this horrible news over at the Borderline, and that's our home club. We've played that venue many times, so it's very chilling.
Adam Housley, a former colleague at Fox News, niece was killed. I did analysis on BillO'Reilly.com. Along the lines of what you do, Corolla, I mean, you and I are pretty simpatico on this issue. And I basically said, look, you know, there's something that binds all of these people together, and now we have, like, the mass murder every week. And that's that they're isolated people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. It has to come a point where observation, if you see something, say something, has to become a mantra for all Americans. You know, you mentioned my book, Killing the SS. Well, that's about evil. Right? The book's essentially about evil. This shooting in Thousand Oaks, that's evil. Right? It doesn't matter if the guy, had some kind of condition or whatever. It's an evil act, and the people affected by it will never forget it their entire lives. But these shooters all have something in common. And they're all loners. They're all isolated from society. They don't have good jobs. Most of them don't have families, interactions. They don't have a lot of friends. They live in a world of electronics and internet where they don't have to go out of the house. If they get groceries delivered, that's all they need. And they're in this world with other troubled people who they can communicate with on a hourly basis. And then, suddenly, sometimes, or over a period of years, they come to the realization that their life means nothing.
Right.
And since they don't have any belief system, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in right or wrong, they don't believe in law, they go out and say, look, I don't want to live anymore, so I'm going to kill myself, as this guy did, but I'm taking 12 innocent people with me. Well, that's an evil act.
I agree.
People have to recognize what it is.
I think there's this is an experiment that we all signed up for, but we didn't sign up for it, is essentially happening to us. You know, 100 years ago, this guy had to leave the house. He had to go till some soil or chop some wood. He could be miserable. He could be depressed. He could be a loner and despondent, but he had to get a job at a lumber mill. Like, he physically had to move. I believe a lot of this happens with this weird sedentary life where everyone's just wearing their virtual reality goggles and everything's sort of pouring through it, and they're staring at their computer and they're off in their group and they're eating Taco Bell and they're just spinning off into this realm. I believe that these guys live in some realm in between reality and sort of cyberspace. Like, I don't even, whatever. It could be prescription drugs. It could be way too much internet pornography. It could be too much junk food. Like, in a weird, we've made this crazy
pseudo reality.
We've created this perfect stew of people living on some weird other plane.
Well, like Bill said, like the isolation thing, you could live a semi-normal life without really leaving your house a lot these days. Like, everything we know, either online, you can have the food sent to you. Like, you don't
right.
need to interact with society that much.
Well, it's interesting to note that when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you didn't really have this very much. Yeah, you had Whitmore in the Bell Tower in Texas, but that was, like, very, very unusual. All right, in the Depression years, you didn't have it a lot, you know, in the subsistence countries around the world today. You know, a guy's running around with AKs and Glocks, not really. But you have a free society, the freest that the world has ever seen in America. And, you know, now you have the ability, as I said, to carve up your own world. So you don't have to integrate into the real world. If you have enough money to live and to eat and to, you know, live someplace, then you just go into the cyber world. And,
yeah.
You know, that's going to lead you nowhere. But when you figure it out that, you know, you have nothing, no human relationships, you're not going anywhere. If you look at a picture of this guy, this guy had a Marine background, a decent looking guy. I mean, he looked like he was in shape. I mean, you're telling me he couldn't develop a decent life for himself? So there had to be people who knew that. As you said, Carolla, a very astute observation you made. There had to be people who knew that.
I think that was because Brian.
This guy is trouble.
I'll say
and we
that.
All
it's
know
the show.
People like
yes.
this. And in, you know, when I wrote Killing the SS, we traced this back, these horrible people who did exactly what this guy did last night in the bar. They went to concentration camps and killed innocent people for no reason.
What do you
who
think? What do you
well, who
think?
Were they? Hey, they were farmers.
That's right.
They were merchants. They didn't go to hell high school. And they just chose to do it. And the German people looked away and allowed it to happen. Well, we can't look away as Americans anymore. If you see somebody like that in your life, you gotta tell somebody about it. No snitch stuff, none of this. And if your parents or grandparents and you have troubled children, you gotta really keep an eye on these kids. Because now we're having it every week. And believe me, the crazy people see this.
I gotta tell you, the biggest chilling effect of all this stuff is for the first time ever thinking about going to a movie theater on a Friday night and going, let's stay in.
Yep. Yep.
Like, that's the scariest part, yeah. that I have no fears and no thoughts of this ever, but I do travel the country. I do play theaters. I do play clubs. I do go out. And I, for the first time ever, literally started thinking about maybe stay in.
That was a 5% factor in why we didn't renew our USC season tickets this year, but 85% because the team sucks. But there definitely came up in my mind. It's like, that is a soft target.
And it's
a sporting event.
The second saddest part is the byproduct of guys like us thinking about staying home versus going out and playing the club. And it's easy to think that way now because we've played borderline many, many times. Bill, let's talk about a happier subject, hunting Nazis.
We wrote this book because this is the eighth in the Killing series. 19 million copies in print. The most successful nonfiction book series of all time. And after I finished Killing Patton, we had stuff left over. I put it aside. And then I saw, as I mentioned, evil kind of growing in America. And I said, you know, the only solution to this is to teach people that evil exists and you cannot look away when you see it. So I'm going to write Killing the SS and tell you about the absolute worst of humanity that has ever walked the planet. Here they are. And not only did they do what they did in the Holocaust, but they got away with it. And people helped them get away with it.
Well, you know,
until a bunch of heroes decided to track them down.
You know what I was thinking? I just had this thought, which is, never had this thought before, but there's evil around the world. There always has been evil. And there's like Boko Haram, and they get the schoolgirls and they gather them up and they kill them at home for hostages. There's warring tribes that do horrible things to each other. But in this is a case, and I'm glad to say a relatively rare case of evil meets mechanized. Like, same guys who bring you the Porsche Panamera also are evil. Like, that's scary. The scariest part is evil with technology, like evil, and we invented the jet engine. Like, they were organized, mechanized evil. They weren't a bunch of madmen, like, running around chopping people's heads off. This was sort of, this is organized in a weird way. Is it as if geniuses became evil, which is the scariest, right?
Because it's kind of true in this case.
Well, you can't kill in this volume unless you do this.
Speaking of which, Bill,
right.
I
show you in Killing the SS how Adolf Eichmann designed it and how the German people, they knew. I mean, you can't. Every German knew what was happening. They just decided, well, you know, it's not going to affect us. We're not going to get involved. You know, the other thing that you can tie this to, Corolla, is that, you know, in a synagogue shooting last week in Pittsburgh, you had a bunch of idiots, and I mean that word literally, on television going, oh, yeah, you know, this, the president is responsible for this. The rhetoric is responsible for this. Trivializing the deaths of those people in the synagogue, number one. And then throwing the Nazi word around. When I hear that from some idiot commentator, I look at the person and say, you have no blanket idea what went on in Germany if you're going to equate that to a difference of political opion in America.
Yeah,
Antifa idiots and the people who stormed Tucker Carlson's house last night, they don't come close to what the Third Reich did. They're on their way.
I don't believe the mentality is
I'm going to hurt people with whom I disagree, but they don't even come close. And to use those kinds of analogies is just offensive and stupid.
Brian,
and no worse combination.
Brian had a
than
question.
To be a stupid offender.
Brian had a question slash comment.
Yeah, true. Bill, back to your earlier point about how it all started and how organized they were, and Adolf Eichmann and all that stuff. There's a great TV movie of all things that came out on HBO about 15 years ago called Conspiracy. And the whole thing is about the Wannsee Conference. What, Bill, I don't know if you cover it in your book because it happened before the Holocaust and not after like your book is, but it's where, just so you guys know, it's where all the German SS and all the upper, you know, Nazis got together at this conference, literally like in a cabin in the woods, and they planned the Holocaust. And it's starring Kenneth Branagh.
It was the final solution.
Yeah, and Stanley Tucci.
Wannsee.
And they planned the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't some accident or some, you know, little group. This was a concerted effort by a government in power running a huge country to murder people. And that's what we're going to do.
What percentage, and, Bill, what percentage?
You know, the United Bill? States is the reason,
yes.
Because if we had not entered the war, Hitler would have defeated Britain eventually. We're the reason that these people were vanquished.
What percentage?
You know, I love to hear Bill, how bad our nation is.
I'm with you on this, but Bill
knows.
I know. Bill, let me jump in here for a second.
How accepting I am of that point of view.
It drives me nuts, too. All right, but listen to me, Bill. What percentage with your research of these guys did we get? Now, I'm not talking about lower-level lieutenants, but of the...
Yeah, we got most of them.
The playing deck.
There's a guy named Mueller who's head of the Gestapo who disappeared. The Soviets said they got him, but there's no proof of that. But they got most of them, but it took 20, 30 years. Now, the lower level, they're still running after. In fact, in San Francisco, we write about a woman SS guard, and there was concentration camps for women, just women. And they were staffed by SS women who were as brutal as the men. Anyway, this woman, who was a seamstress, signed up for the SS because she'd get a better paycheck and more status in her little village. And every day, walked into the concentration camp and murdered people. After the war, she went back to her little village, started sewing again, and eventually came to the United States on a refugee visa. Settled in San Francisco, lived there for 50 years, married a Jew, until finally tracked down by the State Department. There was one guy in the State Department who was relentless getting these concentration camp guards. Her name is Huth, all right? So they send her back to Germany where she's still alive and gets a USA Social Security check every month.
Jeez Louise.
It's unbelievable. Elfriede Huth.
Wasn't there...
And when they interviewed people in San Francisco who knew her, oh, she's the greatest person. We can't believe she's a little concentration camp guard. Hey, if you ever studied this woman, I'm sure that she threw off stuff like that, those vibes. If you see something, say something.
Well, it's a good theme, and it's you know, what's old is new again, sadly, and it's now the new world order. There's not enough cops, and there's not enough custodians of youth and principals and counselors. There's just not enough. Everyone has to be deputized, and we have to essentially just treat it like they treat Israel. You know, you see a guy put a weird package in a trash can or something, you got to blow a whistle.
Absolutely. That's not a solution. We're not going to stop mass murder ever, but we can certainly cut it down, and we can certainly be far more rational in the way we cover this. You know, one encouraging note is killing the SS debuted at number one on the New York Times list, and it's number one again on Sunday.
It is
healing can begin.
Starting to figure this stuff out, that I need to learn about this.
Killing,
I need to know about this.
Killing the SS.
Myself. And one more thing, Corolla. Yes. Don't let those bastards get you down and tell, you know, go and do what you want to do.
Oh, right? I do.
I mean, I know what you're talking about, but if you want to go to a club, go.
You're right.
I tell everybody that. Live your life. Don't let these people do that.
Thank all right? you.
Because this isn't a nation where we're terrorized.
Yeah.
So that's my last word on that subject.
Thanks, Bill. The podcast and show, No Spin News. You can check out the book on Amazon and bookmark us and click on through and check out his website, BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate it. Yes.
I finished my thought because I do want to tell people about this movie. It came out, I think it's 2001-ish. It's called Conspiracy. It's streaming on Amazon Video and it's streaming on HBO. So if you have a subscription to either one of those, you can watch it for free. And it's the entire film takes place in Germany in 1940-ish, whatever it is. And it's Adolf Eichmann, played by Stanley Tucci, and a whole bunch of Nazis who get together at this conference, a real conference called the Wannsee Conference, and they plan the Holocaust with chilling efficiency. Like it's just like Bill described and we talked about. Like they're like, oh well, we have to kill this many people, how do we do it? Like
it's math.
The gas is going to cost this much and it's going to take this much time, and the bodies alone, it's like, well, what if we drive around in trucks with the exhaust pumped into the trucks? Oh, that would be really efficient. Like they're chillingly planning on how to efficiently kill, you know, 11 million Jews. And Even the sympathetic characters, the Colin Firth character is like the sympathetic one. He turns out to be a horrible Nazi, obviously, because he's there. But it's a good movie, Conspiracy.
I would have made a horrible Nazi. Because I'd be like, wait a minute. First off, it's called a world war. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is not a soccer game between us and Poland. We got to beat Poland. We got to beat Hungary. We got to beat the United States.
It's an endless tournament. It's an endless round robin.
We got to just beat. And we're playing them all at this. They're all playing us at the same time. Yep. Like, we got to beat England.
Well, yeah, we got Japan, but come on.
We got to beat Australia. We got to beat all these guys simultaneously. And while we're doing this, we're going to work on this mass murder
of our own people.
Now, listen, I hate Jews as much as the next fella, but let's win the war. Then when we're done, we can really focus our efforts
on the genocide,
on the Jew problem, which is what they call it throughout the movie.
Jesus.
Right now we're building concentration camps, but we could be building pill boxes with machine gun nests in them on the beachfronts and crapping out tiger tanks and stuff like.
It's ironically inefficient. For as efficient as they were,
it's a part. I think people just sort of put the two things together. It's like, well, win the war and kill the Jews, but I was like. It's insane to endeavor to take on something of this scale. Like, I'm going to rid the world of these people, and I'm going to fight the world and beat them, including the Soviet Union, the United States,
and farther.
Right, and England. And I don't know, honestly, like, I know it sounds like I'm making a joke, but I mean, like, didn't somebody go... The Jews are going to be here in 4 years when we're done mopping everyone up and winning and taking over the United States and the Soviet Union and the UK. They'll still be around. And then we'll all be colonized. And then, like, it's such a weird...
Are you making the case for a more efficient Holocaust?
I'm making a case for the...
First things first.
The most, I would say, people... that are sort of insanely pragmatic by nature, not only fighting a world war, but attempting to ethnically cleanse at the same time, which seems like a bizarre allocation of resources for, I don't have Germany pictured in my head in Europe, but if you look at their footprint, you got to cover, it's a smallish group, a smallish area trying to conquer the world. It just seems like a weird weird allocation of guards and machine guns and trains and building encampments and stuff. It seems
like I said, ironically inefficient.
Ironically inefficient. Yes. Yes. Now, you know, I would probably sell it, like if I was the Nazi, I'd probably go, well, let's wait till after the war, and then we can do this, and then I'd pretend to forget about it. You know what I mean? Because I'm a winner.
Placate them.
Sure.
Right, but...
We'll get to this. Trust. I want as much as you guys do.
Why at the same time? I don't... I mean, I would be curious. Somebody... There may be an answer. Like, somebody may have... Someone will tweet me and tell me something, but it sounds like... When you are conducting a war, you have, you know, the women, you're Rosie the Riveter, or you're sewing parachutes out of silk, and then you guys are over here at Kaiser and you're building troop transporter ships, and then you guys, you're recycling rubber. It's not like all about soldiers right at the front line holding guns. It's this national sort of effort. It's kids getting scrap metal and rationing meat and all this kind of stuff. To take a huge group of your people and just allocate them to being guard, like to just the notion of guarding people who weren't fighting
who
against
not a threat.
You.
Yeah, who
right.
A threat.
I have a question about that, and I don't know if this leads to some sort of an answer or not, but how do you whip up a nation into a frenzy without a scapegoat? I mean, don't those things kind of go hand in hand?
Well, no, because the same guy started World War One and seemed to get everyone on board World War One.
They were already in World War II when the Holocaust was being, the Wannsee Conference was going down. It was 1942. I just looked it up. So they had already successfully demonized the Jew. You know, they were in power. That had already had happened.
Yeah, it also...
Brian, the movie doesn't explain Adam's question?
Believe it or not.
It's also a sad testimonial, but, you know, I've been saying for a long time, people aren't bad, they're weak, and then that weakness gets them to do bad things, you know? And I've always sort of looked at it as like, look at the proliferation of lawyers and lawsuits and all this kind of stuff. It's not like America turned bad. America turned weak and went, oh, he can give me some free money.
I guess I'll
just take
it.
Some free money then. Like it's a weak person doing bad things. It's scary how fast you can get people that were seamstresses and farmers to go, hey, go guard the Jews. And if they get out of line, shoot them. Oh, you're going to pay me? Yep. Okay. And how quickly they can...
All things being equal, they wouldn't do the shooting, but a few extra bucks in the paycheck and a little more status in the village.
Or just...
Maybe it's, you know, we people are pliable.
People that may have formerly just been tilling the soil and raising their kids, how you can get a version of... The guy from Inglourious Bastards who's running the farmhouse, and
right.
He's the dairy
milk
farmer. The German version of that guy could have just went and worked at a camp, and killed people. It does let you know how precarious this whole sort of humanity experience is. It's not like, well, there's a handful of homicidal, insane Germans. No, they were able to entice millions of people to go along with their plan that's insanely homicidal. Mm-hmm. So it lets you know that while there's a few insanely homicidal guys at the top and gals, see how it feels now? You wanted to be included. We're going to include you. And guys, that there's so many below them that could just go either way. That the scariest part, you know, Hitler's not the scary part of the equation. The scariest part of the equation is the guy who was just working doing shoe repair who went, what are we doing?
Sounds good to me.
It's Friday. I repair shoes. Monday, we're killing Jews.
Is there a pay raise?
Okay, do I get a uniform? Like that. The scariest part is how precarious this whole thing is. Like how easily we can just be sort of blown this way or blown that way.
Well, I sent Chris a picture. This picture's been going around on Facebook a lot the last week or so. I don't know if you've seen it. Looks like, you know, just a group of happy, laughing people in, you know, some sort of military uniform, and they seem perfectly pleasant, and they tell you what some of their backstories are, and with this guy with his accordion, and he was a famous, you know, a well-to-do accordion player, and blah, 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 blah. Well, these were all apparently SS guards that this Monday through Friday grind of killing people and guarding prisoners is so stressful.
Oh, you got to have some PTO.
That they got to go to these sort of summer camp resorts on weekends because they were stressed out from, you know, killing people and torturing people and starving people to death. So they would go on the weekends just to let off a little steam but I think the point of that is, to your point, like you said, you can get people to do just about anything. And even these people, they felt sorry for that their job was so stressful that they had to make sure they had a nice little vacay at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy. Picture the SS guys all are laughing and like the Andrews sisters, German version of the Andrews sisters laughing it up. Here's what I'm saying, everybody. I'll liken it to that 75-year-old guy who's very spry and virile and athletic and still got a lot of black hair and a full head of hair and blah, blah, blah. And then that guy slips in the bathtub and he breaks his hip and you go to visit him in the hospital and he's been there for 10 days and you see him. It looks like he's clinging to life.
Yeah,
like
frail.
It looks like all the fluid has left his body and his eyes are deep and dark. And things happen quickly and amongst the same people, it can happen quickly, and it is why it's kind of a full-time job to individually and as a nation and as a world sort of stay sane, to take care of your family, to exercise, to move, to eat well, to do the things that that aren't easy. Maybe it's easier to sit around and watch TV than it is to go in and wrestle around with your nine-year-old, but go to do that or to go to worship or to go help out a neighbor or volunteer at a whatever. Like, it's much easier to slide into the, you know, dark room with the TV on and the prescription drugs and the guys delivering Taco Bell to your front door. In the past, that wasn't an option. I mean, look, there were weird mountain men who, you know, talked to their mules and, you know, had, you know, crazy beards and were like, "You, I'm Pappy Parker." Yeah. You know, there's that guy. But I mean, not en masse. You had to get up, get out. You had to go milk some cows and churn some butter and make some breakfast and get the kids off and go to the mill. I mean, you
be part of the community.
You were forced. The mental side of this, we'll bring Vinny Tortorich in a minute, but the mental side of this is no different than the physical side of this. There weren't fat people walking around and Little House on the Prairie times, because what those people had to do, get up when the sun came up and go churn some butter, or till some soil, go work at the sawmill or whatever, be a lumber, you know, cut down your own trees and chop your own firewood, and mama's in there churning the butter. How could you get fat? Huh? You couldn't get fat.
You'd love to. You not
enough. Now people say, oh, well, hey, those people were nobler, or they worked harder, they had their Christian work ethic or whatever it is. No, there's no doubt in my mind, if you just delivered them Taco Bell and a big screen TV, we'd be looking at pictures of guys fighting the Civil War who are all lard asses.
Spilling out.
Actually, they would have never fought the Civil War. They're like, let the Schwarzes out. Take care of themselves. I'm watching TV.
I mean, I'll tweet about it.
Yeah, I'll tweet about it. People know it's a hero. I'm a hashtag hero. So now, physically, we have a decision to make. We cannot go down the drive-through easy road. Our work involves air conditioning and sitting in cubicles and driving electric cars. We must then make the decision to go to the gym or go take the hike or go whatever. So those people shouldn't be credit and get credit for being thin. Their life forced it on them. We now physically have to make this decision, but we now mentally have to make this decision as well. We mentally must go, I want to watch porno for 5 hours on the internet, and then I want to have some Bugles, and then I want to watch some more porno. And you have to go, no, I'm going to go spend time with my kids, or I'm going to go to the community. I'm going to the church.
Okay,
I'm going to volunteer.
No Bugles.
That, we're going to have to do the same thing with our psyche, with our brains, with our minds, that we're doing with our bodies. We're going to have to fight the same battles. Right. Now, you get out, you walk around, you look around, you go through LAX airport and look around at not only the people that are going through the airport, but for some reason, horrifyingly, the people that are working at the airport, working behind the counters at the Tasty Shack and working security and stuff. And you see how many of those people are losing that battle with their body. Well, I would argue more people are losing the battle with their brain. The people who, you could probably count all the people who lost the battle with their body as people who already lost the battle with their brain. But there's a whole nother segment of society that maybe 10% or 4% body fat who have lost it with their brain as well. So it is going to be up to us to win this battle with our brain. And there is no training and there's no warming up. And we didn't get to run any test drills. And there's no other society or anything that came before us that we can look at and study and learn the valuable lessons of this group or that group. We're the first here. It's an experiment. And it's ongoing. And everybody's going to have to engage. And the only way with the shootings, or with all everyone, you know, everyone, and everyone's going to end up on dialysis by the time they're 35 in this new world or whatever, addicted to pornography or prescription drugs or watching 70 hours of TV a night or whatever that battle is, everyone's going to have to engage in it, and it's going to have to start at home. There's just no possible way the folks out there monitoring the world, and also, they don't have any training for this. They're cops, a fireman, principals. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking for criminals and and gangbangers and stuff. They're not in the mental health department. Mm-hmm. We can't rely on them, and it's invisible. Yep. And there's no. Well, we're not going to pass laws that says, you know, your neighbor gets to 5150 you because he thinks you've been playing your stereo too loud or you're acting a little weird. I mean, we all have to watch everyone, but it's going to be hard to pull people out of society and go, you can't own a gun because these people feel this way about you, or you need to be put because we've gotten some complaints. That's a almost impossible task.
Too tall.
I'm just driving it all back home. Just home, church, community, just schools, just the whole entire package. Okay.
Well put. Well, like you said, with the community, it's accountability, you know, and not just to yourself, but look, I'm a workout buddy, you know what I mean? Be on the lookout for your fellow man, your neighbor, your brother, whoever.
Yep. Because I don't know that we can, I know that we can't legislate our way around this. Now, if we want to turn the entire world into LAX and everyone just has to take their shoes off and their belts off
that
and start walking through things that cause testicular cancer, that's fine. But at some point, the shootings are just going to take place at the terminal outside the airport, right, not on the other side of security. So since we don't want to do that, we can't afford that, and it's not going to work, we're just going to have to start policing from the inside out, people. All right, let me tell you quickly about Castrol Edge. Tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with their hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions, and I will answer them. Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetics. What do you got, Max Pata?
At SC Chris on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, how do you feel about drag racing? Do you ever watch? Mm.
Well, I mean, I do know some go, some blow.
Yeah.
And I do know that that doesn't take place on Monday, but it takes place on Sunday.
Right.
And I do know where they're located. They're where the 5, the 110, and the 405 explode. I do know that if you take nitro octane and you throw it on the ground and you drop on a match on it, virtually nothing. But if you put it inside a cylinder of a 446 Hemi, it becomes liquid dynamite. I do know that Sunday's Fox night, the foxes get in free. I know that the English leather girls are usually there. I know that there's been a specially erected stage in the infield, and the band Papa Do Run Run will be covering Beach Boys songs there. Later, the human stick of dynamite will be out there weaving his spell over the audience. I do know Crazy Jake has a rocket-powered school bus. Now, he won't be competing, but he will be taking it on a pass or two. And I know that Big Daddy Don Garlett wants to hoist that trophy, but surely Cha-Cha Muldowney has other ideas. And I know they'll all be there. TV Tommy Ivo, the Chi-Town Hustler, the Hawaiian, Billy McEwen. So it's about all I've gathered from drag race.
Does that answer your question?
It's about all I know, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. X-Band? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you kind of like it, yeah.
I've never been to an event, but I've heard every commercial. I'm an expert at stuff. I grew up watching commercials for the Super Bowl of motocross. Yeah. I saw drag racing commercials. I knew every event. I just never went to the event.
You never experienced
it. But I was an expert
firsthand
at the event through watching it on TV. Right. The commercials,
the commercial,
that
not
is
the actual event.
Uh-huh. Yeah, qualifications are noon, eliminations under the lights. Thank you very much. All right, let's see. Thank you, Castrol Edge, for that question.
No, who thank you,
that,
Adam.
Who has that question?
SC Chris on Instagram.
Thank you, SC Chris. All right, we'll do a quick break. We'll bring Vinny in, and we'll eat some feelings right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. I mean, here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House. And now, Sonny Corolla reads a tweet from James Woods. Your syphilitic brain is working overtime as well. Get any new representation?
Yeah, your mom got me a doorman job at her whorehouse. Hashtag Instablock.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, yeah, Dawson read the tweet.
The back and forth.
The back and the forth. Proud of that boy. Oh, Jesus, goddamn Christ. It's picked up my phone during the break and 1,000 calls from the nurse's office. Sonny got hit in the head at basketball. It's in the nurse's. It's like,
in the head.
Yesterday with the key fob, today with the hit in the head. It's, I'm busy.
Things are falling apart, man.
It's hard.
On your watch.
Yeah, except for not my watch. It's my work. All right. Who's here? Vinny Tortorich, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. I'm interested in this subject, by the way, the vitamin D subject. And I'm also I read some tweets. There was some stuff. There always seems to be a controversy swirling around with the carbs and the sugar and the protein. So let's the documentary, and you can contribute to Fat Documentary at fatdocumentary.com. Vinny, the more I there's a guy named Jacob Lentz. I have great respect for him because he used to be a writer for Jimmy Kimmel. And in the middle of having the cushiest job ever, staff writer for Jimmy Kimmel or any right. late night show. And he was like 29 and single, making a lot of money. And he just said to me one day, I want to be a physician. And I knew he could do it, and he just left. He just quit. And I see him now 7 years later, and he's a doctor.
Right.
And he's telling me about all these obese kids. We were talking about dialysis and Prop 12 and everything. He said, everyone's going to be on dialysis. These kids are huge. Their diets are horrible, and they just keep coming in. And if you talk to them about their diet, it's some sort of shame. Yep. It's like a racist, shameful racist attack or something. And he's like, I'm just watching everyone just getting huge. Everyone's going to be on dialysis.
Kids are now being born fat. Think about that. This has never happened in the history of man.
Born fat.
The life is to live. I love that movie.
Great
also
movie.
The Lion. So how come it's not okay, so you know, I just got done talking about family
right.
as it pertains to everything, school right. shootings and gang yeah. memberships and all the things you isn't diet that thing that also just balloons out? We always talk about health care and the expense right. of health, you know, and Prop 8, Prop 12, and Dallas. Isn't diet, shouldn't we be more talking about diet?
We should be only talking about diet because I've been saying this on my show for 7 years. We're going to break under the weight of our own weight. And let me explain what that means. When health care gets to a point where we can no longer support it, we're going to have to take government money from somewhere else. Basically, our military, where else is it going to come from? We're depleting our military. We're going to be weak as a military. Number one, we're going to be weak because we won't have the money. We're going to try to save our own lives. But above that, we have people in the military who are now too big to serve. So that's a problem.
I it's we're a very weird culture because we have an endless amount of energy to talk about almost everything. But when it comes to the core issues and the ones that just affect everything, such as family or such as diet, we have, you know, we just went through an election. We talked about everything. But no one ever talked about diet or family or any of this stuff.
That's very shaming.
Because, yeah, you don't want to shame anyone. Yeah, that's the problem.
But you do. We're hypocrites because if somebody's smoking, we'll shame the fuck out of that person all day, every day. If you go light up a cigarette in an airplane, go light up a cigarette in a restaurant, what? You'll be tackled by 35 people and dragged to the fucking curb.
10 minutes ago, I said this to Gary Smith in the other room. I said, if my grandfather, who died in 1960, if he came back right now and I was having a conversation with him, I would have to say, Grandpa, here's the deal. You can't smoke anywhere. That something came about since your death called secondhand smoke. Here's the thing. You cannot even smoke where I live in Calabasas. You cannot even smoke outdoors. But I said, hang on, Grandpa. Don't worry about it because you can smoke marijuana wherever you want. So we've done this complete reversal on things where it's okay to use drugs on the street.
Right.
God forbid you smoke. You know, we're looking at the wrong things.
Well,
His grandpa mutters, at least black people can't vote.
I know. I argued with your mayor on the radio once about that, about him trying to outlaw smoking at parks. And then that guy's now an attorney, but was like, I think the mayor of Calabasas is such a fucking imbecile that he simultaneously argued, I should start a school for arguing.
Oh.
That'd be good.
And
argue.
Because
well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pass that to Adam. This is a photo from Calabasas 2 days ago.
It's just a dick pic from you in your bathroom. You look good for a man of your age, but I don't feel like this is appropriate.
I'm not gay, although there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Pink towels say.
All right, so that's what's going on in Calabasas,
there's
right?
Cops just sitting there.
Two motorcycle cops. And by the way, this is on a road where this is on Old Calabasas Road. There is no speeding there. There's a light, then a light, then a light.
Yeah.
But they're stopping people. They're stopping the top taxpayers. This is what's going on in Calabasas. And when they're not doing this, they're giving you tickets for running your sprinklers too long or using your own water to wash your car. That's what's going on in Calabasas.
Everything's about political expediency now and or making money from the people that aren't the empty bags. The former mayor, he was explaining to me that childhood, what was it?
Secondhand smoke, wasn't it?
Well, he was talking about outlawing smoking at parks, mm-hmm. and I said, why don't you solve whatever other real problems you have and leave people alone? And he said that, what you use inhaler for as a kid?
Asthma.
He said, childhood asthma's on the rise. And I said, yeah, but smoking's down 40% from where it was 25 years ago. So if you're equating childhood asthma for being on the rise with smoking, if smoking's down, then I would then make the argument that we need more smokers to get rid of the scourge called childhood asthma. I said, what you just said, your argument flew in the face of your own argument, and we argued for another 5 minutes, and then he stopped and he said, childhood asthma, you know, adolescent asthma is on the rise. I was like, you want to go back to your own?
Right back.
You're going back to your own retarded point? This guy's a lawyer, by the way. What a fucking imbecile. So anyway, All right. Vitamin D. Let's go to vitamin D.
Before we go to vitamin D, before we get off of obesity and childhood obesity, yes, it's a problem. We worry about secondhand smoke with kids, which is not really a problem. We worry about GMOs.
It
doesn't exist. But here's the deal. You know, no one is looking at the real problem, yet mommy will show up to a soccer game where the kid played for 20 minutes with a whole tray of muffins for every kid there, adding to the problem and handing them Gatorade and all this other crap. You know, that's the real problem with kids, yet no one wants to talk about how they're really going to die, right?
Well, not only how are they going to die, what is their quality of life going to be when they're having joint replacements in their 30s, and this thing some of this stuff is not reversible. I mean, right. Some of this stuff is once you do damage to yourself in your 12, you know, when you're morbidly obese, when you're 12, maybe you lose the pounds later on in life, but you've done irreparable damage to many of your organs.
Listen, there are things now that exist that didn't exist 20 years ago. Type 2 diabetes was barely, I mean, people could get it. You had to be a severe alcoholic to even pretend to get it. Now you have kids with type 2 diabetes. You have fatty liver disease. You have sleep apnea. When I was a kid, a CPAP machine did not exist. Now there's an entire industry around the CPAP machine. You know, not only do you have the machine, you need something to now clean the machine. It's like, I guess, a pipe cleaner for CPAP machines or whatever. None of this stuff existed before. And if you think it's just old people using this, it's getting younger and younger and younger. And the people I'm talking to, I do these consults, they're not 50 and 60 years old anymore. They're 30. They're 25. And they're weighing 300 and 400 pounds. Can you imagine when you were a kid, there was probably one fat kid in your school?
Yes.
Right? And that fat kid weighed, what, 250, 260?
He was probably 220 or something. It's an epidemic. And it's one of those things nationwide, but it's like sort of traffic, homeless, like, hey, powers that be, hey, folks in charge, this is going to break the bank. Yeah. I mean, with the cost, you see one of these 13-year-olds who's dragging around an extra 80 pounds. As this person goes through adulthood, as this person becomes part of the system, the amount of trips to the hospital, the chronic whatever, the medications, the taxing, you know, this one person, in a weird way, it's sort of like the juvenile delinquent, like he's in the gangs, then he's this, then he's in and out of prison, then he murders somebody, now he's back in the system. It's like one person can cost us millions of dollars if that one person starts going down that road.
Right.
Now, the gangbangers are usually skinny, but they go down another costly road, and that's, court-appointed attorneys and probation officers. I mean, think about how taxing, like, one person is. Now, think of the medical industry, the morbidly obese young man and young woman leaving junior high times a kajillion. I walk through the airport. I see these people working at the airport. You go to Disneyland. They're working there. Okay, the guys, they're 22 now. Fine. The chickens haven't come home to roost. What does that cost when they get in their 40s, 50s, and 60s
effect.
Times millions of people?
Like slapping their belly in the ripple.
Yes.
We can't handle it. Financially, it won't work.
Well, I know this is naive and we've talked about this before, but how do people scream all day about Medicare and this doesn't come up?
Never comes up.
Because it's not sexy, it doesn't work.
But it's a one-to-one comparison. You're getting every disease under the book. I know.
You're trying to make sense. That's the difference.
I'm not on blood pressure medicine anymore. I'm not on a bunch of medicine anymore.
Yelling.
And that was costing everybody.
Yelling at people to get their shit together doesn't get anyone any votes. And that's what Dr. Drew just talks about, sort of political expediency. Like, just you want votes, telling people like hard news, like, hey, mom, you're poisoning your kid. Get your shit together. He's fat and so are you. No votes for you.
Right.
That's where we're at. All right, Vinny, tell us about vitamin D.
Okay, it's that time of year. You know, we have more dark than light. We get the best way to get vitamin D is to get it from the sun. And what the sun actually, well, the reason we don't get as much as we should from the sun, even if we went out into the sun, we have two problems. Everyone is slathering on SPF 50 or 1,000 or whatever. So it's like we're afraid of the sun. That's not good. The other problem, and I think this is a bigger problem, we're too clean. And when you wash all the oil
off of... Adam won't hear of it.
When you wash the oil off of your skin, the sun is baking that into your body. That's what forms the vitamin D, and then it soaks into your skin, and that's how we do it. When you're scrubbing, I see Serena's got the shower full of all this stuff, and she's got these scrubbing things and all this stuff. It looks like a car wash in my shower. She's got to scrub the back, and then this and the whole thing. People are scrubbing off the stuff you need to cause vitamin D. And then when you add this time of year into it, especially up in Seattle and all these places where it gets dark up in the Northeast and Northwest, now you have a real problem. You have to take it because you're not going to make it.
I've gotten into this in the past with Lynette and with others. Every doctor who you think are smart because they're doctors. Remember, these same guys, when you went to them 15 years ago and you went, I want to lose some weight, they went, how much water are you drinking? Mm. And you went, I don't know. And they go, why aren't you in an aquarium right now? And you went, I have some in the car. How much do you weigh? In ounces. 7,000 ounces. All right, you should be drinking half that, 3,500 ounces of water every single day. These same guys that were insane with water drinking, who've now abandoned drinking water. Now they've changed it to, well, drink when you're thirsty. Yeah. These same guys where you don't get the mail. I don't care if it's raining outside and it's at night. You don't go to the mailbox without spraying on the SP50. Right. And I've always just went, how can that be right? Like, how many people have historically been explained, don't we need the sun? Like, and no. You get an umbrella. If you're going to turn on the hall lights, you get an umbrella and you walk down that hall with it. And I've just
went,
like,
tunnel to your car.
Why are we spraying? I know my kid's going to have SPF 50 lung. That's going to be a sinner because it's just shit just gets sprayed.
Aerosol. I know you're making a joke, but you're not wrong. It's not good. They shouldn't. Your kids are Italian. What are they doing with that stuff on? They have olive skin. Their mother's first generation. They're not getting burnt. I've seen your kids.
Well, either way, there's no way that we need this much stuff slathered on us. I am, you talk about the industry and about big pharma and all,
right.
And not big pharma, but big farmers and all this kind of stuff, Monsanto and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Procter & Gamble. I believe they've been selling women and kids who are in charge of the women and some guys who think like chicks billions of dollars of shit that they don't need for the last 100 years, convincing everyone just to slather everything on themselves, everything. They have like contempt for the people who buy their stuff. Like, hey, what's this Pantene having it, Bert? Make up a word. How about Provita-Z? Provita-Z? Yeah, the dumb bitches, they'll buy anything. Make up a new vitamin. Provita-Z.
Jojoba.
Jojoba with Provita-Z.
Here, take all my money.
Essence of... What are we having for lunch? Guacamole, avocado. Good. Put it on the front. Make sure it smells good. Make sure there's 20 cents worth of shit in here.
Is that eucalyptus?
If it smells good, she'll buy it for 19 bucks and then kind of convince her that she'd be kind of gross without it. You know what I mean?
Like,
you don't leave the house without covering yourself full of shit and bathing and shit and dousing yourself with shit. Oh, and then we'll get one product that strips away everything and one product that puts it back. It's insane. They indoctrinate women, especially mothers. I could remember when my kids were 7 months old, and Lynette would be slathering moisturizer like all over them, just like
on a seven-month-old,
in the crib, and I'd go, well, what's going on? So, that's good for them. Like, they like it. They need it. Like, they've seen the commercials with the mom. She loves her kids. She's putting the babies to Johnson's. She's wearing it. I'm like, they don't go outside. They're not miners. They're miners. They're not coal miners. They don't do anything. They're fine. Let them go to bed, No, it's good. It feels good. Like, it's soothing. It's good for them. They need it.
The commercial said, if I love my baby, I have to do this.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I got dry patch. I got a moisture. Oh, and then they all jump in. Then the chorus jumps in. Oh, yeah. During the winter. Yeah, for sure. You got to run. You got to get that moisture. You don't need any of this shit.
No, you just don't need to put soap on your skin. You don't need to get rid of the stuff you need on your skin to begin with. And that's the problem we have. I know we were talking about vitamin D, but you're right.
Know.
I mean, the reason we need to take stuff is because we're washing stuff off that we need.
We have to replace it.
So vitamin D, so what would be, and I know it'll vary from skin type to skin type, but I would hear all these guys going, look, you're going to take the dog for a walk, you slather on the whatever, and I think people have been walking their dogs for a lot of years, and I think I'll be fine. I just can't believe
that luscious head of hair.
All of a sudden. And it's like, hey, if you're going to be out all day or go to a ball game at the stadium or something, put a big brim hat on. But I just can't believe that we have to cover ourselves in shit to leave the house.
You don't. And if you take someone like Brian or Dawson who have light skin, they can be in the sun one-third of the time that, say, Gina or myself would have to be in the sun with dark skin because they will synthesize more of it right away. So they don't need as much sun time as I would, or an African American, or anyone with dark skin. Chris Laxamana would have to spend more time in the sun.
So a little get some sun.
Yeah.
And what about ingesting vitamin D?
Well, if you can't get enough sun, it's a good idea to ingest it. Then the question becomes how much?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we measure it not in milligrams or grams. We measure it in international units, or the bottle will say IU. So in the wintertime, it's probably okay for most people to take at least 1,000 IUs, up to 2,000. But some doctors may measure your vitamin D in your system, and if you don't have enough, they may recommend as much as 10, 15,000 IUs a day.
You do purevitaminclub.com.
Yes.
I eat his vitamins every day. Is your sublingual, or is that B?
That's B12.
That's B12.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick sublingual
easy for you to say.
Discussion. And Gina, I'm going to dispatch you to go start rattling those pots and pans.
Good cooking,
because,
lady.
Bye-bye.
We're gonna eat our feelings in a minute. But the sublingual, I put it, you know, you put it on your tongue, you let it dissolve, but it's there for a little while, not in pill form, just in sort of,
right,
just sort of breaks off into its smaller elements. I'm thinking, how long do I wait before I take a suck a coffee or a drink of water?
30 seconds, and it's already in. What you're feeling is, I hooked mine to calcium. I'm the only guy that's making one that's not hooked to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If it was hooked to a sugar, then the sugar would just dissolve, and you know you would move on. You wouldn't feel any of it under your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting it. It's going through. It's getting into your bloodstream. So after 30 seconds, you're good. You can just wash the rest of the calcium down with coffee or water or whatever.
Give me what you think, and I know historically there's been a lot of stuff advertised, and there's a lot of, you know, multivitamins. When I see like the gummy vitamins for adults, I worry about this nation's future. I'm like, I hope another war doesn't break out. We're going to get our asses kicked. And also, it's just weird that
more fruit flavors.
Adults are eating gummy vitamins. Like, but if you can't suck it up to just swallow a couple of pills, and to everyone who's like, oh, they taste bad, or I'm not good at that, or whatever, get good at it.
Yeah.
Fucking
or break them
swallow
open
it,
and put it in water.
Or just fucking be a human being and swallow it. Just figure it out.
Everyone swallows.
This notion of like, I can't. Yes, you can.
You can. You don't want to.
You put it in your mouth, take a swig of water, and wash it down.
It's not as nummy.
There's way too much tolerance for people to go like, oh, you don't swallow things? You're fat. You're swallowing something. But you don't swallow pills? All right, I'll make some gooey version of it that you can ingest.
To Vinny's point earlier about too fat to serve, I was thinking about vis-a-vis the military. I was thinking about, remember Full Metal Jacket, Private Pyle, Vincent D'Onofrio? He was the fat one, right? He was the one that was eating the jelly donuts, and Arlie Ermey was tormenting him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that again. Not that fat. Overweight, chubby, but like by today's standards?
Oh.
No.
Yeah, it keeps going. No, it's like the three I mean, yes, it's like the Three Stooges or whatever.
Husky.
It's like, go back and look at the people that were novelty fat, not really fat by today's standards.
Let's see Private Pyle.
Find Private Pyle. I'll tell you first about Hunt a Killer. Do you love an escape room? Looking for clues and solving puzzles? Bring the mystery home. Hunt a Killer, your new favorite obsession. You and O'Reilly, man. You're hunting those people down. Monthly subscription where you become a detective immersed in a murder mystery. Each month, a fictional serial killer sends you clues, objects, letters you use to solve the crime in real time. Matt, you know something about this?
Yeah, I got onto this a couple months ago, actually. It's super cool. It's basically like a twisted activity book for adults. Really fun way to pass the time, and there's a lot of really cool details. It's not just a stack of papers. They really send you a lot of cool stuff each month.
Turn your brain on, man. Play solo, or you can do date night or game night with friends. Even join their online community, work with other people, and at the same point, the same story. And right now, our listeners can go to huntakiller.com/M. You get 10% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so let's hurry. huntakiller.com/Adam. We get you 10% off first box. All right, Vinny, what are the essentials
Not that fat. Overweight.
Not even barely overweight. Not overweight by today's standards.
Today
at
he
all.
Would be considered athletic.
Yes, he would have an athletic. That is barely what would be known as a dad bod by today's standards.
And
he was mocked mercilessly because of
fat.
for being fat.
The fat guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Great movie, by
Great
the way.
Great movie. All right. What are the essentials? What should one take? I think I take your magnesium. I think you have a multi.
Right.
I take the B. And I did what you said to do with the salt tablet, which is bust it open in a glass of water.
Open them in water. And, you know, you were talking about water earlier. You know, you can actually cause more harm by having too much water and you will wash out your electrolytes. So if you want to have enough electrolytes, for every 20 ounces of water, just have another electrolyte. But now you're just going back and forth, if that makes any sense. Do you have my vitamin D?
I'm pretty sure I do. No, I don't think I do because I...
It's
oh,
a little
let
gel.
Me give you
it's a little tiny gel thing.
No, I don't. Let me give you a tip for
You'll
your company.
Get it,
let me give you a
Go
company
on.
Tip.
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
Very good quality products. And I've felt great ever since I've been on them. I'm never sick anyway, but I feel alert. I know because I don't feel like taking a nap at 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
The bottles, they're all the same color scheme when they have the label on them. The top caps, I took a Sharpie and I wrote salt and I wrote multi and I wrote D or I wrote whatever
I
on the
same
top
thing.
The top
I've been
caps.
Trying to get them changed. I can't get different colors on those. They
you
won't
gotta
do
You got to get
it.
A stamp like an M on the multi or a sticker like the ripe sticker on a banana or whatever because I end up having all my vitamins sort of sitting in one tray and I feel like I pull them out and look at them and then, oh, I already got that one. Got to do something on top. A
you know,
sticker.
I'm still working on that. I'm going to see if I can add a sticker to them because I take a marker and put, you know, M for magnesium on one and, you know, V for multivitamin on another one and S. I do that too. But if, you know, as you can see, they have a different color right in the middle. There's a band. The
yes.
yellow band is.
Yes.
But if you don't have a gel cap, that's the vitamin D. And when, you know, everything I do at Pure Vitamin Club, I actually make the vitamins. So, you know, I've always been into hot rods and how do you soup something up. So everything is as pure as you can get it. And then I figure out how to hot rod the product, right? So on the vitamin D, I got the top vitamin D3. And then, you know, I figured out that you had to mix it with an oil. I got the best olive oil on the planet. They've been sponsoring my show for 7 years, Villa Capelli. I had to go jump through hoops to get that from Italy. So each one of them have the top olive oil you can possibly get. And then I mixed it with K. And there's K1 and K2. And then within that, there's metaquinone 4 and metaquinone 7, and I have the top forms of that. So I literally hot rodded the vitamin D.
I ran into a situation. I got the Sharpie out. I said, this one's multi. So I put a big M on the top, and then I pulled the next one out and said magnesium.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, damn it! And I stood there drooling in the kitchen for hours. Hours.
All you have to do is switch the caps and put a V on the other one and switch them over. Same size bottles.
Not that good. All right. we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Vinny and we'll eat our feelings with Gina Grant.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself with maybe a little help from the lackeys and Olga and the twins. Head to CorollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom, if you're offended by Christmas shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Corolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Corolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Corolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CorollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f*** up.